Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC, on WHTC.com, and on the WHTC app for your smartphone. Once again, here's your host, Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Monday, March 25th. It is the fourth Monday of the month, which means at this time we catch up with things going on in Lansing with the 85th House State House District, State District House Representative, Brad Slaw from Zeeland Township, other side of our table this morning. Brad, good morning. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for having me in. Appreciate it.
We always appreciate having our elected officials with us to answer your questions. More than happy to answer your questions, Will Brad, at 616-395-1450. 616-395-1450. All right. Let me just do a quick scan of the wires. I always like to do that just to see if there's anything breaking that is coming on. But it's been, I would say, pretty quiet out of Lansing. Lawmakers are working, even though right now there are still two open seats, and that election is coming up, I think, 2 weeks from tomorrow.
The 16th, whatever that date is. Or—
okay, so that would be 3 weeks from tomorrow then. So then we'll see whether or not. I know that I got an email from the State Republican Party about trying to give some support to the two Republican candidates trying to fill those seats in Warren and in Livonia.
Right. Yep. We've got a couple of candidates that we believe have some possibility of being there. Do I have lots of hope? Maybe not. I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but there is a possibility. Both of those seats are definitely largely Democratic in their voting history. So.
Okay. I'm just double checking on a couple of things here. Just wanna. Sometimes I have to, I have to do, multitasking, as they say. But I'm trying to find the trash. I put it in the trash, unfortunately.
I wouldn't want to do your job, Gary. I'm not sure I could be as multitasking as you are.
So. When you don't have anybody else around to be able to do this, you got to multitask a little bit. I don't see it off the top of my head here looking for that, but definitely the State Republican Party trying to get their the two candidates in its final push to try to get fundraising. And, let's talk a little bit about elections. The 16th is a special election in Warren and in Livonia. Mm-hmm. And then the 23rd, those who wish to run in the partisan primary election on August the 6th, they got a file.
Yep, exactly.
And you've already done that.
Yes, sir. The 23rd of April is our last day to sign up for any of those elected offices. And so we'll wait to see what transpires out of all of that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. To some around here, yes, there is the November 5th general election, but to many people, it's still a case of really August 6th is the election, because normally we don't see much Democratic challenging. Maybe we might see it this time around.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some more of that this time around, given what's happened through the county board. I think they have, in some of the way that they've done things, maybe not the things that they did, but some of the ways that they've done things, I think has created a little angst. And there's some possibility that there will be some folks running on the Democrat side that have not done that before.
Now, you represent an area that pretty much is solidly Republican.
That is correct.
Yeah. But I think any good politician worth his or her salt can't say, well, I don't have to worry after the primary because I'll be able to clean up in the general election. You're too wise for that, I suppose.
Yes. My goal is to be out knocking doors. So I will be getting a list in the next week and start just knocking on doors again in my district, even though I believe that do I have to do that? The answer is maybe no. But Do I think that it's the right thing to do? Yeah, I represent these people. I should be at their doors once in a while finding out what are they looking for.
616-395-1450. If you have a question for State House Representative Bratz Law, 616-395-1450. We touched upon this, I believe, the last time you were with us. And it dealt with speed limits and, shall we say, getting rid of some of the Wild West aspects of speed limits, where if it's not posted, people can fly, even if it looks like it's a residential neighborhood. We talked about Rosewood in Georgetown Township. Mm-hmm. I noticed, and in fact, I noticed it yesterday, driving Port Sheldon, heading east. You see a sign just before you cross Chicago Drive, speed limit 45 ends. Mm-hmm. In other words, that stretch, and it's been built up, of Port Sheldon Street from Chicago Drive to, I want to say, Kennewick Avenue in Georgetown Township. That's a 55 spot, and it's not a rural road anymore, folks.
Correct. That is correct.
So where are we standing now on the speed limit bill?
So, interesting, the Senate, so this bill, 4012 is the number, was approved by the House before. It's been in the Senate waiting for to come to the floor. It came to the floor last week, and it was unanimously approved. So it is now moving on. If and when the Senate sends it on, it should move on to the governor's chair, and we'll wait for the signature for the governor. But I fully expect it to get signed based on a unanimous showing at the Senate, and it was 104 or something to 5 in the House.
Not only is it a strong showing in terms of support, that's also making it veto-proof.
Yeah.
So even if the governor doesn't like it, it'll get overturned.
Right.
So that's a possibility. But again, the aspect of this is to, more than anything else, is to be able to allow municipalities to, it not really set speed limits, but it helps out a little bit.
Yeah, so the essence of the bill is, first of all, today you have to do a speed study and an engineering study on a road surface to set the speed limit. And really, they almost always come up with the same thing, unless it's a specific, there's schools net in there, or a curve and a basketball court right on the edge of the road, or something like that. Typically, an engineering study doesn't really give you lots of different, but it's costly to the local government to have to do that engineering study. So the bill says you can do the speed study. That should be enough. And if there's some mitigating circumstance that you believe is a problem for that, you can do an engineering study to see if it would actually lower it. And then the other thing is that today, the way that the speed limits are set, if you're more than halfway between a 5-mile-an-hour increment, you have to round up. And that means that you're actually going faster than the 85th percentile, which every speed study says is the fastest speed that traffic should be flowing at. So if you're at the 85th and then you have to round up, it's obviously faster than that. So this says you can set it higher. The local government can set it higher or lower to the next 5-mile-an-hour increment.
And keep in mind that governments should have the ability to adjust lower if an area which had been, say, rural gets developed.
Yeah.
And the density becomes more and more where, you might as well slow down the traffic because you're going to have more people around, kids running around.
Exactly. Yep.
Safety.
Mm-hmm. And it's, that's really the part of the purpose of this, is that you can actually go down to the 50th percentile of traffic flow to make sure that in areas where there is more things going on, that you can document it and then show that the speed should be less than what it's posted at right now.
And we're just talking about county roads.
Yes.
Local roads. It's not the state roads. That's an entirely different animal.
Like state highways and those kinds of things are not something that this would apply to.
616-395-1450. If you have a question for State House Representative Bratz Law, 616-395-1450. When we had one of our other lawmakers on, one of our callers was talking about the fact of they weren't aware about where exactly the 75-mile-an-hour jurisdiction is. And I know that in this area, the only 75-mile-an-hour speed limit signs up is on M-231 between Lake Michigan Drive and Cleveland Street, M-222.
It's 65 on that. It's posted 65.
Oh, I thought that was up to 75 there.
Nope, it's 65.
Okay. Why did I think it was 75 there?
So you have to go north of Cedar Springs
north of Cedar Springs, I know that.
Yep.
And a lot of it has to do with population density.
Correct.
More than anything else.
Yep.
But I always thought that 231 was the drag strip. Because it's basically a flat drag strip as it is.
It runs. It definitely runs.
So that's a 65 where everything else is with two lanes is 55.
55, correct.
Okay. 616-395-1450. By the way, yes, it's on the edge of his district. Should start work probably next Monday. That's the Business 196 rebuild. From US 31 to 88th in Zeeland, and it's overdue. Yeah. To be honest with you,
for sure.
But it's like, let's see. We've had 1 year. We had the problem of reconstructing the Eastern Gateway in Zeeland. Then we had 2 years of rebuilding I-196. Now we get this. What's next?
And there are people who think that we don't do enough road work, right?
The only thing is just make sure if that stretch gets worked on, no wise guy comes around and says, hey, we need to fix Washington Avenue in Zeeland or Riley Street and just continue to make it. You can't get there from here.
I know, exactly.
Like last year, the problem was 196 was being rebuilt, and then there was a water main work over on 104th and Chicago Drive.
Yeah, and Byron Center, they shut down Byron, the road.
Because of the bridge rebuild.
So,
folks, I've mentioned this to Alex Doty at the Road Commission, can we at least have a chance for y'all, MDOT and the road commissions have at least a chance to go to the Gateway Spoon or to the Windmill Restaurant or maybe to Frank's over in Zeeland, have some lunch, go over the plan saying, okay, we'll work on this. Can you hold off on that? And then we'll let you,
Right. Exactly.
Coordinate. I know. 616-395-1450. All right. City of Zeeland today and tomorrow, Zeeland city leaders, city manager Tim Klunder and his staff will be huddling with Zeeland city council members for 2 days of budget sessions, formulating a budget for fiscal 2025. In Lansing, that process is ongoing, even though we still have a 54-54 split in the state house.
Absolutely. It's in fact, it's ongoing, even though like this week is would be considered break week, spring break week in the legislature. There's still some of those subcommittees, budget subcommittees are actually in process of meeting. And I met with somebody on last week, end of the week, saying, hey, how I'm thinking about this. What do you think about? And so they've asked me to get back. So we'll be in continuing conversation, over the next couple of weeks, even though we're waiting for that special vote on the 16th, because they're definitely not going to work on approving the budget until after we get past that date.
Yeah, but at least have everything in order so that, could be a little surprise in the Republicans. Then you'll be a committee chair. You'll get the gavel.
Could be.
Christmas in April. Well, I don't know whether or not Santa's going to come with a gavel for Brad Slaw and other Republicans. We shall see. I don't think you are directly involved with this. I know that two of our state lawmakers are Luke Meerman and Nancy DeBoer. about the school security package. They got five bills at least being heard in a committee, which, you know, they were happy about getting at least five of the bills in that package heard.
Right. Yeah, that whole school safety package, even though I'm not on it, I definitely am in favor of us moving forward with that. There is a whole bunch of pieces in there, and none of them are earth-shaking or, things that are wild or crazy. They are just solid efforts by both Republicans and Democrats coming into the same room, sitting down and having conversations about it. So the bills themselves are actually really solidly bipartisan. We'll find out whether they can get voted on or not.
Hey, I would think they should, and to a certain extent, this is a good time to get them in because the awareness of school safety is heightened a little bit with the trials of James and Jennifer Crumley in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And the squawking we're hearing out of Oxford now, where they want more accountability. They want the attorney general to be back in there to investigate. They want the last two members of the Oxford school board that were there when the shootings happened. They want them out. They're not happy campers over there.
For sure.
And I would think the legislature is hearing some of this too.
Oh, they absolutely are. So I know that both sides are interested in trying to move stuff. There's the political side of it is who gets the credit for it and who doesn't. And from a bill perspective, that's really much of the consternation today is who gets credit. And that's really the problem, Gary, with much of what we do is people want their name on it. They want to say, oh, look at what I've done for my community, rather than saying, hey, you know what? How can I do the very best thing for the state of Michigan and the people in it?
Yeah, you're right. And I agree with you on the sense that get something done. I don't care if my name's on it or not. Yes, I know it might help come election time that I'm doing something, you know, do something to save our phony baloney jobs. But to use the old Blazing Saddles line, and if, you know, you don't really care about the credit, it could be used against you in the campaign by your opponent saying, we sent him to Lansing, or we sent her to Lansing, and nothing got done with their name on it. Well, I can understand wanting to get some of the credit.
Sure. I understand why people would want it. It's still the right answer for me is, how do I do it, whether or not I get credit for it?
There are a number of people who are not pleased with our educational system in principle. Maybe not specifically, oh, I don't like the Zeeland Public Schools, or I don't like Hudsonville Public Schools, or I don't like Holland Public Schools. But they're just not pleased with the public school system in general. And they don't want to send their kid to a Christian school. They want to homeschool. And to be honest with you, I think they have every right to be able to do so. Mm-hmm. If the parents feel they are confident enough to be able to teach their youngsters the proper education, give them the proper tools, then that's fine. I have problems about social interaction with these homeschoolers, but apparently these parents are very good about that. There's been some talk in Lansing about the state wanting to make sure that no kid is being undereducated. That is the rationale, well-meaning as it might be, for having homeschoolers registered through the state. But there are people who are not happy about this at all, Brad.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's been one of those issues that have really generated lots of discussion and lots of response from folks that are in my district. Very concerned about what is the reason that the state is trying to register their student. Supposedly there was some children that were abused or something in a home. But that if you look at the preponderance of evidence, you would say, well, wait a minute, you can document one that you're showing me, but what's the reality of how big that is and what's the problem? Are we seeking to create a law or something, rules that are seeking a problem, or are we actually helping to resolve something that's real? So the majority of folks, in fact, I would think almost everybody that I've been contacted with in my office is opposed to registering homeschool students. And those who are communicating with me say, well, Brad, if we're going to register, then shouldn't we also provide all the services that we're providing at the public school? Because we're not doing that today. Like free breakfast, free lunch, you know, all of those other kinds of things that are going on. And no one wants to do those things, but they want this especially the superintendent of schools, state of Michigan, Rice is his last name, is really pushing this as a concept. So I've definitely got a bunch of folks that are opposed to it at this point in time. I've got, no one's been able to show me that there's a great reason for us to actually start registering all of our students that are homeschooled.
Yeah. I think just looking at it as an outsider, the fact that, those who want to register them might be well-intentioned to make sure that all students are getting the proper education. And that's fine and laudable, but there are some parents who say, no, I don't want my kids to be exposed to some of the things that they can be exposed to at school. Mm-hmm. It's against our religious beliefs, or it's against something. And yes, there are going to be bad apples. We're human. It's part of the human nature. But for the sake of trying to weed out the bad apples, are we going to throw everybody in the same bus?
Right. Yeah. And I think there's, an opportunity for us to, there are lots of ways for us to educate students. And some students excel in a homeschool situation. Some excel in a public school situation. I think that one of the things that you can do is you can actually document the amount of bullying that goes on. That typically doesn't happen at home. That happens in a public school situation. So there's all kinds of things on both sides that are concerned. One of the concerns that I have would be in a registration situation is that I think it's just one more piece of the government trying to take control of people's lives. And I think we need to be really careful of that.
Keep in mind, I think that legislation will probably go nowhere in 2024. But in this off year for the state, where the Senate stays put and the governor's office stays put, the House is all up for grabs. Mm-hmm. If the House goes Republican and we have split government, I don't see this going through. But if the Democrats maintain a majority in the House, I think this legislation and some other ones that might be a little iffy if we had split government, I think these will be definitely fast-tracked to get them into law before the 2026 elections.
Yeah, and I think you will see if the Republicans end up having the House, the majority in the House at the end of our election, you will see in the month of December, many of these kind of bills come forward to be passed while they still have the House, the Senate, and the governor.
Similar to what we saw on the other side of the fence.
With Snyder.
A few years ago.
Yep. 300 bills, I think, they passed in
lame duck.
In lame duck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could easily see that kind of thing happen again.
If you need to contact Brant's Law's office, 517-373-0841, 517-373-0841. And you can check Brad online. His webpage is through gophouse.org, gophouse.org. There's a pull-down menu. And look for Representative Bradley Slaw, SLAGH, District 85. As always, Brad, thank you very much for your time. Look forward to chatting with you again next month.
Well, thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me in, and I appreciate the opportunity to just address your listeners.
On 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.